A very happy Father's Day to each and every one of you who are fathers this morning. And if you're not a father this morning, happy Father's Day to you who have had a father. Anybody? Everybody have a father? Yeah, so we're all kind of on the same page on one level or another. This morning, I want to bring a message to you that I'm always excited to get behind the pulpit. I've never come to the pulpit anxious or excited to bring a message that I wouldn't get up and preach something I wasn't excited about. But then there's times that there are certain messages that I really look forward to, and that's the case here this morning. There are certain texts that I find myself continually reading over and over again in my own private time, in my own devotional time. And obviously, all the Word of God is insightful for us, right? All the Word of God speaks to our present situation. But there are some particular passages that speak so, to my heart at least, so specifically to us as fathers, as leaders, as a pastor. And I find myself going back to this passage over and over again. And that's Psalm 23. I believe Psalm 23 speaks to us today as fathers. It speaks to me as a pastor and as a leader, as a husband, as a man, as a Christian. It speaks to me because he is my heavenly Father. He is my shepherd, certainly. But he has also entrusted to me the role of being a shepherd, not just of this awesome, awesome church, but shepherding my own family. It is by far the most well-known passages within the Psalms, for it speaks of the heart of a shepherd. It reveals the heart of our God. It is a beautiful picture of the nurturing and caring and tender side of our great God, and the way in which he watches after us, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus reminds us that he is the good shepherd. Amen. The one who gives his life for the sheep. This shepherd gives the ultimate thing that can be given. He gives his life for the sheep. Let me give you a little bit of backdrop about this psalm. Before David was the king of Israel and recognized as the great giant slayer, right? Killing Goliath. David was a shepherd boy. He cared for and tended the sheep. And that was no easy task. For those of you who don't know it, sheep are among some of God's most unintelligent animals. Do you know that? If left to themselves, sheep will drink polluted, stagnant, urine-filled, feces-filled, parasitic-filled water, killing themselves, diseasing themselves, unless they have a shepherd that will bring them to fresh brooks, because they're not very intelligent animals. If left to themselves, they will become malnourished. They will, because they are creatures of habit, they will continually go to the same passage of grass time and time again. And once the grass is gone, they will eat up whatever grows up after that, usually letting go or letting loose of what they've just eaten there as well, bringing further disease upon themselves. They will wander in places that will make themselves vulnerable to prey, unaware of the dangers that lie waiting to take them. Many sheep will simply die just because they don't have the necessary tools. And so the care of a shepherd is vitally, critically important to the well-being and proper care of sheep. In fact, a shepherd's reputation in the community and character would be determined by the help of the sheep, by the health of the sheep. If the sheep were malnourished or uncared for, or was constantly under the attack of wolves and other kind of predators, The determination would easily be made that this was an uncaring kind of a shepherd. This was a shepherd that was not concerned about the sheep. This was a shepherd who was distant from the sheep and not aware of the dangers and the responsibility that he had as a shepherd over their care. The opposite was true as well. When the sheep would seem to thrive and grow, and when the wool was white and fluffy, when there was life in their eyes and they were getting full and they were protected from the predators, the conclusion was obviously and easily made that they were under the proper care of a shepherd. And so the well-being of the and the overall health of the herd was dependent on having the right shepherd. If you had the right shepherd, you'd thrive. If you had the wrong shepherd, you would eventually get sick, malnourished, and possibly die. This was known. This was understood. This is what people recognized and looked for. And either they had great concerns over the sheep, or they took tremendous pride in them. Everything for the sheep, good, bad, or ugly, was dependent upon the quality care of the shepherd. David knew this. David lived this. And David had hands-on life experience of knowing that the well-being of the sheep was critically dependent, directly connected to the care of the shepherd. And it was with that understanding that David pens the most beautiful psalm, I believe, in all the scripture. And he says, "The Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful, poetic, profound, picturesque description of our shepherd. Let's take a look at this passage this morning a little bit from the angle of maybe perhaps David was writing as well. Certainly he is making the connection of God being our shepherd in the way in which he cares for his sheep, but maybe a little bit of insight onto what was going on in the life of sheep would help bring this passage from black and white to color. He says, "The Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want." He is reminded that the care and the vibrancy and the well-being of the sheep depended exclusively on the shepherd in whom cared for them. And David says with boldness and pride and exuberance, "The Lord, he is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want. He will provide for me. He will take care of me." He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Something interesting about sheep. Sheep are the most timid of God's creatures. They are so fearful because they are constantly... Everybody ever hear about someone being attacked by a sheep? They don't have much of a defense mechanism, right? They stand there very vulnerable. And because of that, they stand often. In fact, a sheep will never lie down unless it is completely sure that it is in a completely safe and predator-free environment. Because they are so filled with fear and timidity, Sheep never lie down, but what David says is, my shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, he creates the kind of environment that is safe for me to lie down. It is predator free because his shepherd is with him. He says he restores my soul. The minds of these timid, fearful creatures, anytime they'd heard a noise, they would jump. But the shepherd restores our soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love that. The shepherd creates and carves out the path for the sheep to go to so that they might be nourished and fulfilled. He knows that these sheep will eat diseased, dry, dead grass. And so he leads them to the path of righteousness. I love this for his name's sake. Why? Because he owns them. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd creates an environment that even in the midst of predatory animals all over the place who are just waiting for a down moment, looking for an opportunity, waiting for the moment of attack. This shepherd, in the midst of being under the shadow of the death, he creates an environment where the sheep can say, I'll fear no evil. Not because it's not out there, but because he is with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. I love that. The difference between the rod and the staff, the rod would bring correction, the staff would bring direction. The rod would be the thing when, you know, sheep go astray. And there are times where the rod would need to be used to get the sheep in line. And then he would guide them over to the fold. He'd guide them over to safety. The whole motive behind that was to make sure that the sheep would thrive. If they would start to wander off, they'd become vulnerable and open to attack. And so the shepherd would bring the rod and then bring the staff. And they would bring direction and comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. The enemies were all over, but they didn't need to go out from under the care of the shepherd to eat what was on the outside, because he has prepared a table for them, even in their presence. And that's going to get real profound in a few moments. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Summertime is, amongst shepherds, is known as fly time. In the summertime, the sheep would be constantly under the attack of bot flies and warble flies and nasal flies. And they would, you ever go to a farm or something, you see the flies all over the cow, and you're kind of thinking, that's got to be driving you crazy. It really drove sheep crazy. Especially the nasal flies and the warble flies that would go inside the ears and up inside the nasal cavity. They would literally go up there and they would drive the sheep mad. Literally. And in fact, they say that it would not be unusual to see sheep going head first into trees, killing themselves. Because the irritants that entered into their mind, into their heads, these flies, would drive them crazy. You know what the shepherd would do? The shepherd would take the sheep and he'd lay that sheep's head in his lap and he would pour oil. You anoint my head with oil. And he'd get the oil and he'd put it all through the ears and up in the nasal cavity, and he would protect the sheep from the irritants of life. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over, overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what that was referring to? There is no better manure than sheep manure that's coming from healthy sheep. And so what this is referring to is what the sheep would leave behind. We don't need to get too graphic, but you could understand where I'm going there. And really for what David's referring to here is also is the legacy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Speaks of legacy. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said before, sheep tend to go astray. Jesus makes reference to the shepherd who will leave the 99 and go after the one. Sometimes if that sheep was so defiant and unwilling to listen and heed to the call of the shepherd would break its leg, pick it up, carry it on its shoulders. We've seen the picture of Jesus, right, with the shepherd. I think we actually had it on there this morning. Carrying that shepherd, that sheep, keeping it close until it was healthy and able to be reintroduced back into the herd. You see, the ultimate goal of the shepherd was to bring home all the sheep. He'd bring them out for pasture time. But a shepherd who leaves the sheep out there and forgets about them. You ever leave your kids in church? Just saying. You ever go somewhere, right? We're going on a trip and only half of you come back. It wasn't a successful trip. You might have had a good time. But there's a couple who got left behind who didn't have a good time. The ultimate goal of the shepherd is to bring back the sheep from the fields to the house, to the farm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is saying, this shepherd who is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'm sure as David is penning this scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is seeing himself under the care of this shepherd who at the final time, at the final day, will gather us all back together and be able to share together and say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our shepherd. No wonder David rejoiced and declared with great pride whose care he was under. David rejoiced in being identified in the Lord's fold because he knew the benefits and the care and the nurture that would be his in being in the Lord's fold. And the reality of it is that this is a great reminder for every one of us that maybe you're here this morning and your father wasn't what you had hoped for. Maybe he's not involved in your life. I want to point you to our Heavenly Father, our great shepherd of the sheep who will never leave you or forsake you, who is a father to the fatherless. And a great reminder of his care and nurture for us. But this Father's Day, I want to view this psalm from the angle of fathering. While some of the distinctions between family and sheep are very different, and don't you dare go there, there is much that we can draw from in this six verses that I pray will impact and direct the awesome role that we have as fathers. And I appreciated what Kenny said this morning. Even if your children are out of the house, you never stop being a father. You just become more creative in the way in which you raise them, right? This morning, I want to direct this challenge to the dads among us as we consider some fatherly insights from the shepherd. That's the title of our message this morning, Fatherly Insights from the Shepherd, that's found in Psalm 23. The first thing that David declares is, the Lord, he is my shepherd. What we see here is that the shepherd chooses to be identified with the sheep. As we make this connection as fathers in likening ourselves to the shepherd, we approach our role as under-shepherds of our families. And the first thing we see here, as David says, the Lord is my shepherd, we see that the shepherd chooses to identify himself with the sheep. He shares in their hardships and in their difficult times. He walks them through the storms, and he never abandons them when things are getting tough. Whether it be storms on the prairie or prey in the background, the shepherd doesn't pick up and go, but the shepherd, the father, is there for his children. David was able to declare that the Lord was his shepherd because the Lord was present in his life. A shepherd cannot properly lead from a distance. And notice, unlike many fathers and husbands today, the good shepherd leads through personal presence, from being there. He doesn't leave the discipline to mama. He doesn't leave it to the schools or to the youth ministry to straighten their kid out. He is there. He leads them. And he is aware of the circumstances that they are facing because he is with them. Dads, I want to encourage you. Be there for them. The greatest thing you can give your child is not going to have a price tag on it. The greatest present you can give them is the presence of yourself. It is the thing that will outlast anything you can give them. And the shepherd chooses to be identified with his sheep. He doesn't have any goal that's greater than the sheep. The sheep is his goal. I see so many fathers who, they have their life and then they have their family life. And I think to myself, that is your life. Are any goals that do not involve our family and the fulfillment of it is a bad shepherd, is a distant shepherd, is an unsuccessful and unfaithful shepherd. That's something we ought to think about today. What are the goals for those who are under my care, for those who are following me, whether it be my wife or my children or some young life that considers me a father figure in their life? And I think that's a blessing, a tremendous blessing, and a responsibility that we have in the church to be a father figure for those who have not had godly father figures in their lives. It is my goal to shepherd them, to point them to the great shepherd. Or do I have a goal that does not involve them? David says, in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We see that the great shepherd is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. David declared that because the Lord is his shepherd, he said, I shall not lack anything. That's not just for material things. In fact, the very things that the fold needs are outlined in this passage, clearly identified in this passage of Scripture in verses 1 through 6. A good leader spends time with those following, with those who are following him. So much time that the shepherd is aware of the needs of the sheep. You cannot lead from a distance. You cannot, listen, you cannot know what's going on in the heart of your child by osmosis. Know what osmosis is? Right? It's not going to just come into you. You know, it's how plants, whatever. You can't just be around them and know where they're at. You've got to talk to them. You've got to ask them. You've got to observe what their needs are. Or they will be so, they will catch you by so off guard that you'll miss opportunities to meet them where they're at. Time is the only way you can really assess the needs of those under your care. Time with them, and then time with God. Because there are just some things that even that communication is not gonna scratch the itch. You need to go to your Heavenly Father who knows that little one, that young one, far better than you ever will. And has the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and your mind the direction, the insight, the discernment, and the needs of your child. It is a spiritual battle, as Ken said, child rearing is today more than ever before. And I thank God that He is our shepherd. Amen. And He loves my kids more than I do. And He has entrusted those little lives, those poor kids, into my hands. But if I am attentive to His ear, and I will listen to His voice, He will give me insight beyond my years. He will give me discernment beyond my own spiritual maturity to be able to speak into their lives what they need, because He is their shepherd as well. A godly father gives the greatest thing he has to offer, himself. And he never makes his family crave for his attention and acceptance. He doesn't have to dangle the carrot and say, well, if you do this, Daddy will spend time with you. All that does is create an environment that it's a privilege to spend time with Daddy and not normal. And it needs to be normal. They should not vie for our attention. Now, I'm right there with you guys. You're thinking right now, I don't spend enough time with my kid. I don't have enough time in my day either. You know, but God gives us the time. God knows how to help us prioritize those moments so that we can make the best out of those times. David declared, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He creates an environment that is safe to lie down. Free of fear, free of attack. He makes me to lie down, do we? Do we know when things need to slow down in life, men? Do we know when things need to be put, do you know when to say no to everything and say, no, we just need some family time? Knowing when those things need to be addressed, and knowing when everything and everyone else needs to be on the back burner. It creates an environment that's safe for our kids. I like what David says next. He says, He guides them in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In other words, He is aware that His character and name are on the line. And his success, if you will, is not determined by how much he brings home, but whether the sheep are flourishing and being taken care of. Interestingly, sheep will choose to follow a shepherd that it can depend on rather than graze in the greenest of fields. It's not about how much stuff you give your family, but it's about how much of you give to your family. There's too many men working ridiculous hours out there at the expense of their family under the name of providing. And I know things are tough. I know times are tough. But there's never been a man on his deathbed who said, I wish I would have worked more hours. I wish I would have just worked a little bit more overtime. They always say the same thing. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have seized that moment. For those of you who are older and your kids are out of the house, I'm sure it is an ongoing struggle where you say, I wish we would have just seized that moment. And we'll do the same thing when we get older, right? Look back and say, oh, I wish I would have. Seize that moment. Young fathers, there is nothing more important going on in your life than what's going on in your home. He leads me beside the still waters. He keeps me from polluting myself. He keeps me, what David is saying is, he keeps me from the things that will harm me. He leads me beside the still waters. I said before that sheep will tend to go to polluted brooks, to parasitic water, to urine-filled, bacteria-ridden water to drink from, and they will pollute themselves, disease themselves, and cause premature death or bad health. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, he keeps me from polluting myself. Dads, what are your kids drinking from? Where are they getting their nourishment from? What are they looking at on Facebook? Who are their friends? Are they going outside of your care to get fulfillment? Men, if you've got daughters, if you're not the first date in their life, they're going to let then somebody else is going to step in and teach them what dating's all about. Do you want somebody else to do that? What are they drinking from? Who are they hanging out with? Listen, I know you teenagers aren't going to like this. Parents, you've got permission to go through their drawers when they're not looking. You better go on their web pages and see what they're looking at. You better get some insight into the kids that they're hanging out with. Yeah, I know the teenagers don't like me right now, but you'll get over it. You'll be parents one day and you'll appreciate it. Don't leave that in the care of somebody else. You are their shepherd. You are the one who needs to know what they're involved in, who they're hanging out with, what they're watching on TV, who they're talking to on Xbox, what games they're playing on Xbox, what things they're listening to, and all those other things that will flood their minds. Are they drinking from polluted brooks? He leads us, and we need to lead them to the still waters, the safe waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. A godly father instills confidence and assurance in times of turmoil. Those who are following us need to know that whatever comes our way, we're not leaving. Our wives and our children need to know that whatever life has to offer us as a family, Daddy is going to seek God. And we're going to make the right decisions that will honor God and not embarrass our families. No matter what. A godly father creates an environment that is secure and confident. Not arrogant. And not just confident in us as fathers, but here's the big leap that we need to bring our kids to. We need to bring their confidence from us, which we need to build enough of a track record where that's there, so that we could take their little hand that's holding ours and we could pass them off to the one who will never disappoint, who will never let down, who will never leave them or forsake them. Amen. That's our role, to literally pass them off as imperfect fathers to the perfect Father. I believe today's young people are crying out, give me a leader that I can follow. Give me some kind of direction. And Dad's God will help you if you will seek him. And if you don't, they will go outside your home and they will find direction from somebody else. Rules bring safety and security, won't they? Now, I know they bring headaches. I understand that. And I know it's inconvenient at times. But rules bring safety and security. It tells me that somebody thought this through ahead of me and had my best interest in mind. So they created a rule to protect me from something that is going to hurt me. Now, don't make rules that don't make sense. Don't exasperate your children to wrath, the scripture says. But make sure that the rules in your home are there to benefit them and not just you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They remind me that someone that loves me is looking out for me and watching over me to keep me safe. Because when the rules are broken, they need a little bit more than guidance. They need the rod of correction. They need to understand that bad decisions bring bad consequences. If they don't learn it from you, they'll have to learn it from the police somewhere. Better they learn it under the safety of your environment, your care. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup, it runs over. I mentioned how the shepherd prepares the table in the midst of his enemies. Let me tell you, our culture is quite the enemy today. You are competing with the World Wide Web, Facebook, all this garbage on TV, all this stuff that wants to feed your kids things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. And listen, if you're involved in those things, you're not going to see them as dangerous. Now, I'm not against the World Wide Web. Obviously, this is a tool that we can use for good things. I'm talking about getting involved and seeing the stuff that, as believers, we ought not to have any involvement in. And if you're engaging in those things, your sensitivity level is going to get very, very small. And your kids will always take it further than you ever did. He creates a table. I love this. He creates a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I get this picture of this table in the midst of this war zone. In the midst of this land of opportunity where there is garbage being offered to the kids under the guise of fun. And they are eating it. But the shepherd, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, we cannot take our kids out of the world. How many would love to do that, right? Wouldn't you love to kind of, you know, sorry, but I'd love to have a commune somewhere where we can keep away from the big, bad, nasty world. And, you know, that's just not realistic, and that's not what God's called us to do. I don't want to send my kids to the school where homosexuality is acceptable and cursing is consistent and all the stuff that is contrary to everything we have taught them and everything the Word of God sees, it teaches. We turn them loose into an environment that calls it normal. But we are to prepare a table in the midst of all of that. We are to meet their needs in such a way they don't need to leave our table and go somewhere else to eat, is what he's saying. I know that might be hard to hear this morning because maybe your children are wayward. Maybe they have left your table for a time and they are eating somewhere else. Maybe you'd say, I wish I would have heard this 15 years ago. He has the ability to keep them. You keep praying. You keep holding on. You keep trusting God, and He will get a hold of their hearts. The word of God that you've pumped into them will not return void. The shepherd anoints the head with oil. I love that. He protects them from the irritants, the nasal flies and the bot flies and the warble flies that would enter into the mind and drive the sheep mad, even to the point of suicide, a kamikaze sheep. What do we get from that, fathers? We need to anoint their heads with oil. We need to protect them from the irritants of life. We need to define for them those things that will drive them crazy and drive them mad. What's going on in the life of your young person? Do they seem irritable? My pastor, they're teenagers. I get it. I understand. That's like part of the thing, right? But I'm an unusually irritable. Do they seem disconnected? Man, check out what's going on in their lives. See what they're posting online. Usually they'll cry out there before they'll cry out at home. Look into their rooms, as I said. Check in to see what friends they're hanging out with. Find out what irritants are entering into their minds. And anoint them with oil. Pull them aside. And say, listen, I know this might seem to be a fun thing. I understand that this you're growing at this point, and you're interested in things more than Legos right now, right? And you know, there's a plan that God has for this kind of stuff. And let me tell you what the truth is, so that you'd see all this other garbage out there is nothing more than nasal flies that are trying to get into your business and drive you crazy. And you combat that stuff with truth time and time again. It's very hard to do if we're not combating it in our own lives. If we allow ourselves to entertain things, here's a good question. Do you want your kids to live the lifestyle you are? I was watching something on TV the other day, and I said to my son, Gabriel, go inside. Why, is this a bad movie? No, Daddy doesn't watch bad movies. This is just not good for you. It's 6 years old, right? You know, but I just set you up. That was the Yankee Met game that we saw the sweep on last week. But do you have the kind of relationships that you want them to have? Are you looking at stuff on the internet that you want them to look at now? I mean, that's really kind of getting into the kitchen, right? Getting into our own business here a little bit. Say, hey, that's getting a little too personal. Yes, it is. It's a serious time for child raising. And we cannot expect what we are not living. We cannot expect what we are not living. What's making them irritable? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Finally, a godly father is aware that he is building more than a family. He's building a legacy. He's literally setting in motion a lifestyle that will affect generations after him. Not only his children, but his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. A godly father keeps the future impact of every decision in mind before he makes it, knowing it will impact the future of his family. He realizes that good decisions bring good results and bad decisions bring bad ones. And he says that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In simple language, a godly father gets his family involved in the kingdom of God, involved in various areas of ministry, and teaches them by his own example that it is greater to give than to receive. It is greater to build God's kingdom than our own kingdom. Listen, if you don't prioritize church, they never will. I guarantee you that. And notice I'm not talking about prioritizing religion. That will cause them to want to puke that up one day. But if you don't prioritize the local church, where the preaching of the gospel is coming forth, where the body of believers, as imperfect as we are worshiping God and willing and wanting to be used by God, you are robbing your kids from something that is so vital to their development. And if it's not your priority, listen, it'll never be theirs. Unless, of course, God gets a hold of their heart later on and you miss out on that opportunity, that blessing. He places a priority on the family of God and the involvement of the kingdom of God. I like this. He says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I said before that the goal of the shepherd is to bring back everybody that went out there. And God will go to whatever unusual feats he needs to bring them back. As I said before, sometimes a shepherd will break the leg of the sheep, so it cannot continue to wander away. Why? Because he loves that sheep as an individual, even more than you do that wayward child. And I want to bring a sense of encouragement to you this morning maybe your children are a great way off. Like the father, like the story of the prodigal son that Jesus gives us in the book of Luke, maybe your child is a great way off. Pray them back into the kingdom. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Because in the end of the day, the psalmist says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The goal of the shepherd is to bring them all back. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that I've not lost anyone. He'll not lose anyone. Some sheep might come back a lot more battered than others. Some of them might have all kinds of fly bites all over them and broken legs that are restored and whatever it is. But I'll tell you something, the Holy Spirit is relentless in bringing them back. And I want to speak to you as a wayward son myself, a time where I walked away from God and my parents had to hold on to that. He will bring them back. I want to do something different this morning. How many have a son, a daughter, a nephew, a niece, somebody that you're saying, "God, I've been praying for this one. They used to walk with you. They're not anymore." Is there anybody else other than the three of us, four of us? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who has somebody in their mind that you think, "I want that one, God. I refuse to let that one go. I gave birth to that one. I refuse to let him or her go." Can we have a time of prayer this morning? I'm going to ask our fathers on this Father's Day, whether it's your child or somebody else's child, let's just have a couple minutes of prayer together and praying for that backslider, praying for that wayward son, that wayward daughter, that God would bring them into the kingdom, bring them back, bring conviction into their lives so that they might be restored back into the fold. Could you think of a better Father's Day gift to him as well as to you? Let's bow our heads this morning.